Welcome to 3GT, the podcast for three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
You have just tuned in to Three Guys Theologizing. Yes, it's 3GT time, and I'm glad you're here with me, as well as my other co-host. This is Barry York, a professor and president down at Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I'm joined with Kyle Borg, pastor of Winchester Reformed Presbyterian Church, and Scott Hunt, our parishioner from Marion, Indiana. And it's good to be together with you guys. How are you doing on this November day?
It doesn't feel like November out there, so I'm doing great.
Feels a little bit like December here, so I'm a little bit chilly.
Yeah, it is. I've got the chilly part of it as well. And fall has fallen. We're losing a lot of the leaves on the trees, and so it's starting to really feel like November. Well, it's good to be back together, especially after the last episode. Because on the last episode, neither Scott or I could be there. And so instead of 3GT, we had one GM or one guy monologuing, as Kyle just did it all by himself. And if we have any listeners left, we're glad you've returned to us.
Any listeners left? They're all on the edge of their seat hoping I fire both of you. That was the most amazing 30 minutes of podcasting in the history of podcast, Barry.
Yeah.
So, okay, I did want to ask Kyle a question, though. And we're going back a couple of episodes here. So you don't care how people look in church as long as they're not drinking coffee. Is that what I got from the that episode?
Yeah. The coffee's just a little too casual for me.
Shorts and a t-shirt? Okay.
No comfort. Coffee. Comfort. It's all about comfort, Scott. We need to be comfortable. I'm telling you. I'm not to resurrect this discussion, but I'm telling you, the apostles never issued a command to dress your Sunday best, okay?
Well, we're not going to continue
in
that.
Fact, there's no way Eutychus could have fallen asleep if he was wearing a necktie. Because they're so uncomfortable, they just keep you awake.
I don't know. They constrict blood flow, so I might disagree with that. Well, we're glad you are with us. And in order to really make up for being two down last time, we're actually adding two more this time. Two special people are going to join us on this episode, two special voices, especially to me. And those two voices are my son-in-law and daughter, Tommy and Emery. And pretty much wherever I go around the church and in my travels, it's not too long before someone comes up and asks me, how is Tommy doing? Or how's your son-in-law doing? And so we thought it would be encouraging for our listeners to hear an update about Tommy and Emery. Not everyone may know the story, but it was on February 27th of last year, 2022, that I got a phone call close to midnight on a Lord's Day evening. And when I saw that it was my daughter Emery, I thought this is a bit unusual. And so when I picked it up and heard her trembling voice, I knew something was amiss. And what had happened was, is Tommy, who had just graduated from the police academy and was on his third week of patrolling, was shot in the line of duty, seeking to apprehend someone who, surprisingly, just as Tommy was closing in on a short foot chase, sprayed bullets behind him, one of which caught Tommy in the throat and exited through his back right shoulder, I believe it was. And that began quite a journey for these two. I had the privilege of spending the next 2 weeks out in Indianapolis with them and watching these two from the very minute that I began to interact with them. Tommy, who couldn't speak at that time but could write, began to ask me a lot of questions about how do we glorify God through this event and through the suffering. And it's been quite a journey for him. We're now coming up almost to the 2-year mark on this. And we thought it would be helpful to our listeners just to hear an update and some of the things the Lord has been teaching them. And so I really want them to do most of the talking during this time. But I thought I'd just start off, Tommy and Emery. Maybe, Emery, I'll have you do this part. Why don't you just share just an overview of what Tommy's gone through these last 18, 19, 20 months? You're the physician's assistant in the family, and so she can speak a little bit more to some of the medical things, and then we'll get into more hearing from Tommy as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Initially, following Tommy being shot, because the bullet passed through his voice box, it shattered his vocal cords and his airway. And so they had to put in a tracheostomy to help him breathe. He had to have a feeding tube to help him eat. It wasn't safe for him to swallow at that time. And he was in the hospital for a couple weeks. Went home, and then he had another infection in his neck and had to go back into the hospital. And he had a stent in his airway that was keeping it open so that it would heal open, with the hope being that Tommy would be able to breathe on his own again. But that meant that he couldn't talk. And so for the first 2 months after the most traumatic event of his life, Tommy communicated through writing. And then he was eventually able to get that stent out. And then, thankfully, about 3 months after he was shot, he was able to get his trach out and able to breathe on his own. He did did for many months speech therapy to help strengthen his swallow and his voice. He had another surgery later on that year. The scar on his neck had become so thick that he really couldn't turn his head well, which made driving and other activities just pretty difficult. So he had another...
It was a straight line,
It was right? a straight line. And so he had a surgery where now his scar is in more of a zigzag shape, and that gives him more mobility in his neck. We don't fully know why, but also because I think he couldn't breathe through his nose and his mouth for several months, he developed issues just with breathing and sleeping. And so he had a surgery kind of on his sinuses in the fall, as well as he had nerve damage in his neck that affected his right pupil. And it's called Horner syndrome. And that has affected his eyes' ability to focus together. And that is still an ongoing issue. He continues now, here a year and a half later, to see an eye doctor regularly. They've tried different eye drops, contacts, prescription, that has made, reading and just different activities difficult for Tommy.
There's a lot of light sensitivity. And
yeah.
So you're always wearing sunglasses, not just to be cool, which he is, but help him to manage the light sensitivity.
Yes. And those he's also been doing ongoing concussion therapy, because when he got shot, he fell back and hit his head and had a small fracture in his neck, as well as they say the force of the bullet just passing so close to his head, to his brain, can cause a concussion. And so the sunglasses also help with that, just the light sensitivity. But he continues to have, most days he'll end up by the end of the day with a headache. And the hope is that that will get better with time. They say it can take 2, 3, 4, 5 years before people see more resolution of their concussion symptoms. So it's kind of summarizing the last year and a half medically.
Yes.
What we've been dealing with.
Anything she left out, Tommy?
It's a pretty good summary. I guess one of the more recent developments developments we only realized recently is reflux. So I would wonder in passing, when I'm trying to exercise or if I'm laying there, why I'm tasting my stomach more and There are a lot of other more pressing matters, though, other surgeries. So I just fade and we'd move on. But in one of the appointments with the laryngologist, asked about that and realized that since the pressure system is messed up and it's an open system, when I swallow, it will draw in more air than a normal swallow. So I need to swallow harder to bring in air. Or while I'm swallowing harder, it brings in air. But then also, since I don't have vocal cords, the it's always open normally. It would be closed off when you're swallowing. You wouldn't be getting the air coming in. So reflux has been a new issue we've been trying to think around and work with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course, there's been lots of ups and downs and some progress and then setbacks in certain areas. And this may be one of the first times some of our listeners have heard Tommy's voice. And the one thing when we were wondering back in the early days when the stent was there and then we realized there may not be vocal cords left, what would his voice sound like? And one of the things that I've just said is that it's still Tommy. It's still Tommy's voice. It's just a little hoarser and rougher maybe than it was before. But if I got a phone call, I would say that's Tommy. It's still Tommy's voice and intonation. So we're thankful for that measure of recovery that he's able to talk, because we weren't quite sure if he'd be able to do so especially in those early months. As you guys have journeyed through all of this, certainly the Lord's been teaching a lot of different lessons, and we could go on quite some time about what those are, but what are some of the ways you've just seen the Lord working through this time? Maybe right now we'll start with just some of the ways that you've seen him sustain you, encourage you through this time.
I can start. I think the biggest one for me has been Tommy, just that the Lord has given us each other. And I know a lot of people, when they're going through, other officers or families, when they're going through that hardest day of the life, it's meant that they've lost, you know, they've lost their loved one. And that's something that we've always been so thankful for, is that we have each other. And I would say, from the moment Tommy woke up and I had to tell him what had happened, that he had been shot, and he had so many questions. And yet in those early days, there was no anger or frustration. The Lord, he just poured out his heart to God in the hospital by journaling. He couldn't talk, but he would journal and he would pray, and the Lord gave him so much peace. And I think that Tommy has been constantly pointing me to the Lord, and to his word and to prayer, and has been just that rock, pointing me to the true rock in our life. And that's been a huge sustaining grace in my life throughout this last year and a half, as well as our families. I mean, our families, both Tommy and my family, have really surrounded us and visited us, written us, made us meals, taken us to appointments, let us come out and stay with them when we need to get away, and have been so encouraging, as well as our church family have really surrounded us. That's something that we just didn't realize was so important until this happened, that you need your brothers and sisters in Christ in your local church to pray with you, to visit you. Those have been some of the biggest encouragements in our lives.
Definitely recognizing what recognizing how God provides for us, especially through the people he's already brought into our path before the trial comes, as well as how he'll continue to use those people during it is really encouraging. So having friends and family reaching out, and those in the church just trying to see how the Lord has worked in the past and continues to use all of that in the present has been a real encouragement. Like in the hospital, one of the nurses was someone I took a worldviews class with back in high school, and trying to, as some days are more, definitely more discouraging than others, need to keep our eyes open, since the Lord is constantly bringing encouragement in our ways through the various people he brings.
For those who maybe not have seen Tommy, perhaps you could view him as perhaps not being able to get around very easily or that type of thing, but my big strong son-in-law has still continued to exercise. You get out on the basketball court and play. I mean, he really still loves to use his body. So he's very able in many ways. Although I have to say, they've been out here for a few days, and the other night I got home kind of late from work, and the sun had gone down, and Miriam and Tommy and Emery were out finishing up blowing all the leaves off my lawn. And I went in to get changed and came back out and found out that Tommy had twisted an ankle helping me. So I feel badly that I contributed to his. He was trying to help me out, and he ended up getting hurt from it. But he's out here on the mend, right?
Yep. on the mend.
So, well, as you've alluded to, this all hasn't been easy. And certainly you've had to recover from the physical trials that this has taken you through. But I know there's also been some wrestlings, I guess we could call it, with the Lord. And what are some of the ways that you've just had to wrestle with God? Maybe you're still wrestling with the Lord. I think sometimes it's it can be a temptation for us as Christians to, you know, when something like this has happened, to think, well, now it's okay. Like, we've got to a point where it's okay. But sometimes the valleys that we walk through can be a little bit longer than we had hoped for. I think you might agree with that. Would you mind sharing maybe a struggle or two that could help our listeners, both as they're thinking about some of the valleys they're being taken through by God, but also just as they'll pray for you?
Well, I like to view myself as a young man who's able bodied, and part of what we know from scripture with young men, there is pride is a struggle, and that's something I struggle with. So in my pride, I'd like to be able to bear this cross that Christ has fashioned for me, that God has fashioned for me, but I'm challenged by the beauty that I am unable to bear it alone, and not meant to bear it alone, and really encouraged looking at scripture, how Christ himself as a man. His cross was very heavy, and another came and helped him bear that burden while he's going to Calvary, Simon. And it's been very humbling for me, since I'd like to be able to bear it. And I'm just really thankful that God's provided me with family, church family, with Emery to uphold my arms, to speak for me when my voice gets tired or when I couldn't speak at all. And I'm just really thankful that I've been able to bear it alone, and God's given the people to help me bear it with, in church with our Pastor Foltz there, and that's just been a real encouragement to me, and it makes me get out of my shell some, since I try to, as a young man, try to hold in my emotion, but realizing more and more that I, like a pressure cooker, will, it'll be build up, it'll be too much, so I need to pour that out to the Lord, but also need to make sure I'm sharing that with the people he's brought into my life.
You know, Barry, if I can just interject a comment, it's, you know, sitting on this side of things to hear you guys talk about that, is such a tremendous encouragement, at least to me and probably to many other people. You know, we live in a church culture where the spotlight, rightly or wrongly, is often shown on the church's failings, its inabilities. And it's so encouraging to hear when the church is actually being the church, and the encouragement. You know, earlier today, I was looking over the Westminster Confession of Faith and the chapter that we have on the communion of saints. And one of the things that the confession notes is that by our common profession, we are bound to a fellowship and a communion, not only to worship God, but the confession talks about how, according to our different abilities and necessities, to help relieve people in their outward things. And I think what I'm hearing from you guys, and again, where this is just so encouraging, it's amazing in the valleys and as we bear different crosses, just how many different abilities, gifts, and graces come out of the people of God, and how diverse that is, and just a simple but profound reminder of how much we really do need one another. None of us are gifted and graced with everything that we need to live this life. Christ alone is the man that is gifted in every way. So it's encouraging to me to hear those things.
Mm-hmm. How about you, my daughter?
I would say the Lord is really working in our hearts. When it first happens, as anyone who knows who's been through a traumatic event, you're really just surviving, and you don't have the capacity to really think about what has happened and how your life has changed. But then as the dust settles, the questions start to come. And there is always the question of why. And then you would think, but I know I can't, you don't always get to know the why. And I think I really was questioning, how is this loving? How can God love us and this be our life? I would pray every day specifically that Tommy would not be shot. So that felt, in my sinfulness and my human nature, it felt like a betrayal of my trust in the Lord. I trusted you with this. How is this? How are your plans better than our plans? Those are some of the really honest struggles I had. A lot of anger, a lot of bitterness. The Lord is, it doesn't happen overnight. And it was something we're still praying about. And some of why we're out here now is that Tommy and I are in the midst of a 3-day prayer retreat that my parents are facilitating. And one thing, even today, we were talking about, Tommy said, you know, my purpose is to know God, to honor him, and then Emery, to know you. And I would say through this, those purposes are being met. And my purposes, though, before all this happened, were out of order. And I just, it made me stop and think, what is my purpose? So often the things I think about and the things I worry about are about myself. And it's not wrong to have goals, you know, here in this earth, to have a fitness goal or other goals like that, a financial goal. Those goals aren't wrong, but our ultimate goal overall should be to know God, to glorify him. And I just started thinking about, who am I to say that the trajectory I had for my life was the best for me? I just think how God is using this to humble me, to show me my sin. Could he use this to serve, help us serve the church better? And ultimately, Tommy and I would both say that we know the Lord still so small. Our knowledge of him is so small, and yet it's greater because of what's happened. And I think we see God's love in this, because I just think, how is this loving? And yet it's like a father chastising or disciplining his child, correcting them, guiding them. We are seeing that more and more, how God is using that, this to shape us, to guide us, to correct us. And we haven't gotten here overnight, though, I can say that. It's a process, and it will continue to be a process as we deal with this for as long as the Lord gives us here on earth.
Well, certainly, you know, we see that, and just how the Lord's been using Tommy and Emery to encourage the church and to have an incredible witness out, particularly in the city of Indianapolis. And even the summer, I asked if they would be willing to serve at the seminary in this program we have for high school youth for 3 weeks called Theological Foundations for Youth, where 35 youth come, and would they serve as counselors? And they gave the time to do that. And I just heard, you know, just wonderful ways God was using them in the lives of these young people. And so there are lots of things like that, that God's allowing to happen. Emery brag on Tommy a little bit. He received some awards and, in Indianapolis, what were some of those that he's received?
Yeah. So, last fall, the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department, IMPD, they have their annual award ceremony, and Tommy received a Purple Heart for his injuries and then also a Medal of Valor, just as for his courageous act that night. You know, something that Tommy really wrestled with was, you know, he was a rookie and just graduated about 3 weeks before he was shot. What did I do wrong? What should I have done differently? And we are just really thankful for his field training officer's reassurance that, you know, you did everything right. Tommy was acting bravely that night and pursuing this man. And I'm just really proud of him. And then it was really special in the spring, the Indianapolis Fire Department also had an award ceremony, and they honored the firefighters who transported Tommy from the scene to the hospital. And Tommy got to go there that night as well, and thank them and honor them for their service.
Mm-hmm. And that's special too, because in the providence of things, the person that shot Tommy had been called in on a hit and run. And because of that, it activated emergency personnel to the area. When Tommy was shot, his fellow police officers were getting ready to transport him to the nearest hospital in their car. He wasn't breathing because blood's pouring down into his lungs. And those medical personnel were called there, and they were able to open up his airways there and really kept him either from most likely brain injury or even death. There's been a special bond that's been created between them and Tommy as well through this tragedy. As you guys are continuing to process all of this, what's your status? Why don't you share what your status is right now? In other words, Emery's a trained physician's assistant and was working full time in that field. Tommy is a police officer. Where are you guys right now in your vocations, and what are you contemplating about what the future looks like, even though you may not have a lot of answers to that still yet?
I'll go and then I'll let you go, Tommy. So I went from working, I work night shift full time, to now I just work PRN, which means as the need arises, I pick up shifts. That has been a challenge in some ways, but a blessing in other ways, just to have more time to be with Tommy for his appointments, and more flexibility to grieve, to process, and to be kind of, I'm staying PRN until God gives some more direction about what our future may hold.
My status is injured on duty and will be heading to Vanderbilt next week. I'll be assessed and they'll see if there's any procedure or type of reconstructive surgery that they could offer. And then also still working on the visual side of things. But I would like to be a chaplain, and with IMPD, they do have full-time chaplaincy staff, and so that is where my heart is leaning towards, but we'll still need to see what healing there is, and since a 40-hour week would be too much, that the headaches are still some of my daily bread. But it's also encouraging, if I weren't able to do full time, they do also have volunteer chaplains with IMPD, so that'd be another route. And and then if there was real more miraculous healing, where I'm able to do more physically as well as louder vocally, it'd be back on the street, since I came into it wanting to be out in the community in that way, and trying out SWA once I was in long enough. But yeah, the Lord, he knows what the future holds for us. Those are some ideas that we've been talking about.
And the Vanderbilt is down in Tennessee. It's a health center related to the university there, and they have specialists that you're going to go see to see if there's anything else that might possibly be done.
Yes, correct. Yeah,
good. Well, that's certainly something, as you listen to this podcast, you could be praying for Tommy and Emery. Scott and Kyle, do you, either one of you, have a question you'd like to ask before we wrap up this episode?
You know, one of the things I hate to do is ask a question I don't know the answer to. So I'm kind of going out on a limb here, but how are you guys dealing with, you know, is there anger and bitterness toward the man who did this? Are you wrestling through that? has, I'm sure he's been charged, but where's the status of his case? If you know, you know, just kind of give an update on that. Or
the prosecutor kind of among us has to know the answer.
Yeah, I do. And I'm sorry.
You have an answer? Yeah, it still hasn't. We had in the, like in the fall, Tommy had his deposition. So I think they've wrapped up that level and they haven't set a court date yet. We have heard, you know, he could do a plea deal. Still not sure if it'll even go to court. They haven't set a date yet. I mean, he is being charged with attempted murder. So we are, you know, thankful that they're recognizing, you know, the seriousness of what he's done, and he's still awaiting his trial. And so it's still just in that waiting phase. Interestingly, Tommy, you can answer it. I think, and maybe it's just recognizing the sovereignty of God and just the depravity of man, the theology that Tommy and I have been raised with. There hasn't been a lot of anger or bitterness directed towards the man who shot him. Maybe it's just too hard to even think about. I think we've been dealing with so much else that I just try really not to think about him. And I know that will change once we're actually there in court and we're going to have to deal with some more of those emotions. And I know they will be there. But I guess for me, at least, I've been focused on Tommy, and those will probably come more as we actually have to see him and face him if it goes to trial.
Yeah, and I know that just as a father to them, to know that this man had been in prison for 8.5 years for armed robbery, had been out, had committed other crimes before the shooting, and been released on a $500 bail. I saw the FOP president, who's a Christian man in Indianapolis. He was livid that over the lack of justice, and that this man had gotten through the system in this way to create this kind of harm to Tommy and others. And so I do think I was just praying this past Lord's Day in worship, my pastoral prayer. There was some violence out in Maine that's gotten a lot of the country's attention again. And we're just a country that does not have justice, and there is violence in the streets, and it should, you know, it's become more personalized. Sometimes you hear it in the news and you don't really, really cry out like I think we should be as Christians in this nation, praying for God to reestablish justice in the streets. I was just with a young musician from Nashville who was in the Covenant PCA church and school down there, where someone walked in and started shooting in that environment. And he was testifying to the use of the Psalms in his life, and actually singing from our Psalter to help him grapple with all that went through his mind as dear people, including his own pastor's daughter, lost their lives. And so I think it's just, this has certainly been a reminder to me to pray passionately for the Lord to remove the bloodshed and the violence from our land. And we're really suffering the judgments of the Lord here because of our turning away from him. And as Christians, that affects us, that impacts us. And, you know, I see that as I look at Tommy, the scars that he's bearing. And it was his pursuit of justice that created the situation. And you can just hear, and what he just shared a moment ago, that hasn't left him in his heart. He still wants to be used of the Lord. And whether it's actually going back out on the streets or being an advocate and being a witness to that, I know the Lord will continue to use him in that way. Well, Tommy and Emery, thank you for joining us and opening up your hearts to us here for a little bit on this episode of Three Guys Theologizing. We hope that this has been a helpful update to, again, so many of you. Wherever I go, people are asking, how's Tommy? How's my son-in-law? And so I hope this gives you just new information so you can continue to pray for them. We have greatly appreciated all the love and support as a family that we've received during these months. This is Three Guys Theologizing. We love to hear from you. So if you'd like to write us, you can do so by sending an email to 3gt.xyz at gmail.com. Sorry. You can also visit us at our website at 3gt.xyz. Thank you for listening to this episode.